Okay, welcome. We look at Yosef, particularly at the time that Yosef was not home with his parents and siblings, but out in the world. We can find a trend in everything he has to say. Let's see if we can pick up on it together. I'm pretty sure it's going to become painfully obvious, especially with some added emphasis of my own. So let's start in Lamed Tet Tet. I'm going to read you a pasuk where Yosef is dealing with Eshet Potiphar. And he says to her, I can't be with you. How can I perpetrate this great evil and have sinned against God? Okay. Now let's go to Perek Mem, Pasuk Hey, where Yosef is speaking with the Sarim while in prison and interpreting their dreams. So he's talking to them. Etc. Etc. So what does Yosef say to them? Vayomru elav, chalom chalamnu foter ein oto. Vayomra lehem Yosef, halo lilokim pitronim seprunalim. He says, why don't you tell me your dreams? Hashem has answers, solutions to explain dreams. Okay, we go a little bit further. And he's still talking to them. Vayar saro ofim ki tov patar. He liked the way Yosef explained the other dream. So he says, I want to tell you my dream too. So, one second. That's not it. Let's try again. Yes, now we are dealing with, Yosef is talking to Paro. Paro had dreams. It worked out the first time with dreams. Sarah Mashkin mentions him. So now Paro tells Yosef his dream. Vayan Yosef et Paro lemor, b'adai Elokim yaneh shlom Paro. Says, Hashem can help you explain your dream, Paro. And he continues, Vayomer Yosef el Paro, chalom Paro echadu. Paro, you thought you had two dreams because you woke up in between? Really, it's only one dream. And Asher Elokim osei gidlu Paro. What Hashem is going to do, he told Paro. Okay, we continue. Only a few psukim later, where he says, "Who the varish advarti al Paro, Ashera Elokim osei ared Paro." What Hashem's going to do, he showed Paro. Pasuk Lamed Bet. He says, "Ki nachona davar miyum Elokim va'er Elokim lasoto." Paro, he gave you a dream to tell you what he's going to do. God is telling you what he's going to do. Okay, hopefully you've started to notice the trend. I'm going to go on until it becomes painfully obvious. Pasuk Nun Aleph. Yosef is naming his children. He named his son Menashe. God has made me forget all my hardship. Okay, moving on. Also in Ephraim's name that appears. But now we are talking to he tells the brothers, I have an out for you because I fear God. Okay, now we're going to Mem Gimel Chavtet. Where Yosef sees Binyamin. Vesai na vayared Binyamin achi ben imo vayomer zeh achichem akatone shamartem elai. Vayomer Elohim yechoncha b'ni. He says, Hashem, God be gracious to you, my son. Okay? So far, you've noticed the trend that I've noticed? Yes? What is it?
Always Hashem.
Always Elohim. Always Elohim. Excellent. Okay? Let's go a little bit further. A few more examples. We are now in Perek Mem Hey. Pasuk Hey. He says, don't be mad at, don't be sad that you sold me. Why did this happen? Hashem arranged it so I could arrange for you to live. Further, he says, Hashem sent me here before you. Same story. He says, go tell our father, Hashem made me the Tsar over Mitzrayim. Okay, now we're going to Perek Memchet. Okay, this continues multiple parshios. פרק ממך, פסוק ת' ויאמר יוסף אל אביו, בניהם אשר נתן לי אלוקים בזה, ויאמר ככם נעלי על ברכם, says to his father, these are my sons that Hashem gave me. פרק נון, פסוק י' ת' ויאמר להם יוסף אל תירא כי אתה אלוקים אני. So now the brothers are afraid of Yosef, because Yaakov died and he's afraid. Now he's going to take his chance. He says, no, am I in the place of God? Pasuk, a few seconds later, he says, Elohim anochi meiv, Elohim pakod yivkod etchem, v'latem in haaretz, Hashem is going to take you out. So, we've come across this trend, as you pointed out already, but should be painfully obvious. It's almost that Yosef has this tick. Every sentence he says, he has to bring up Elohim, Elohim, Elohim. There's one notable exception. Perek Membet, Pasuk Tetvav. Here, Yosef is talking to his brothers. And he still hasn't revealed himself. And he says, Bazot tibachenu chifaro im teitzu mizeh kim bevoachem achikam lakaton ena. How will I know if you're telling the truth? I swear by Paro. If you bring your brother here, your younger brother, I'll know you're telling the truth. Who does he swear by? Paro, not Hashem. Okay, I'm not the first one to notice this. The parish on the Torah known as the Emet Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, he noticed this. And he pointed to an interesting Gemara. Gemara in Sota discusses Shimshon. Pasuk says, the Pesukim tell us how Shimshon keeps lying to Delilah time and time again. If you do X to me, that's the secret to my power. You do Y to me, and he didn't tell the truth any of those times. And finally, he tells her the truth. And the Pasuk says that Vatera Delilah ki Egila Kolibo. She knew, he told him. So the Gemara asked, and Sota Tedamad Bet, Mina Yada, how did she know? So there's two ways. When a person tells the truth, you know. We're going to get back to that one. But the Emet Yaakov focuses on the second answer. That tzaddik would not have used Hashem's name. And in the pasuk when he told her he used Hashem's name, he says, Nazir Elohim Ani. And probably according to the Mefarshim, he actually said Shem Hashem. Because otherwise, that might have been a way out. So because he said Shem Hashem, she knew he was telling the truth. So he would not have used Shem Hashem while telling a lie. So says the Emet Yaakov, Yosef also had this Midat HaEmet. He was an Ish Elohim. And therefore, Yosef was constantly using Shem Elohim. He was constantly using it. He was always talking about Hashem. Hashem is the one who gives me the power to explain your dreams. Hashem is the one who gives me success in running your household. Hashem is the one who led me here ahead of you, the brothers, to make sure you live and to take care of everything for you. Hashem, 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 Hashem. But all of a sudden, when Yosef's lying to his brothers, and he says, I know you're spies, and I swear by Paro, you're spies. Why? Because that was when he was not telling the truth. And here, we have an important lesson about honesty. When I was... Let's start with this. One time I heard Rabbi Pesach Kron speak, and he told a story about a man who was driving his wife to the hospital to give birth, and he ran through a toll. I mean, he drove through the toll. And whatever it was, they stopped him and let him go. He said, you know, we have to get to the hospital. And he went to the hospital, and the way back, even though there was no toll in the other direction, he got out and went to pay. When he went to pay, they said to him, did you have a boy or a girl? She said, how did you know? He says, well, when you ran through the light, there was a cop who saw you, and he told us to just leave you. A person like you, meaning a frum Jew, would only do that if there was a reason, and you would come back and pay. So Rabbi Kron said, the hero of this story is not that man who came back and paid, but all the other people that this cop had met who were frum Jews, who gave him the impression that frum Jews are honest. And this is very important. It's very important that people think that frum Jews are honest. And I don't know that that's always true. I don't know that it's always true that frum Jews are honest, because we have to work on that. And therefore, I don't know that they always have the impression that frum Jews are honest. I remember one time when I was in the army, and there were two chilonim in my unit that were arguing about something. And this was about 2 months into the army. And one of them said, X happened. One of them said, Y happened. They're arguing back and forth, and they see me. And they knew I had witnessed the event. And they turned to me and said, what happened? And I told them, X happened. So the guy who had said that turned to the other one and says, Ataroeh, Ben Yeshlom Shaker. A Ben Yeshiva wouldn't lie. This is a Chiloni, one Chiloni, another Chiloni. What Ben Yeshiva had he met? He had met the Hezder unit we were in for the previous 2 months. Those were the frum Jews he knew. And what he knew about them was that they didn't lie. So the heroes in that story were the frum Jews he met for those 2 months in the army. And that is something that we have to be striving for. Most people in this room, or I don't know, most people, let's say, there's at least somebody in this room who will not be spending his entire life in yeshiva. Most probably. You're going to go get a degree, you're going to go to college, you're going to go work, often with non-Jews or non-frum Jews. It's very, very important that they get the idea that you're honest and ethical and have integrity. I remember when I worked in computers, my first week on the job, I wanted to print something for myself. And I asked the manager of the office, an office that had many employees, many, many employees, and I asked him, am I allowed to print for a personal purpose? And he said, yes. And then he said to me, in all my years working here, you're the first person to ever ask. Now, why is that? Okay? I wasn't the first frum Jew working there. Okay? So don't say I was the first Jew. No. How come those others didn't make that point? How come he doesn't know, hey, frum Jews, they're extra careful, they're extra honest? That is something we have to be working on. I remember Rav Lichtenstein more than once, Ravana Lichtenstein Zatzal, more than once telling us how he once walked in to meet with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal. And he had just finished dealing with a person, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was shaken by something. And he turned to Rav Lichtenstein and said, tell me, is it true that there are people in America who consider themselves frum Jews, yet cheat on their taxes? And Rav Lichtenstein was so shocked, and he didn't know how to respond, and he told the story as an example of the Tmimut, how pure and, I don't know, possibly naive, that Rav Shlomo Zalman was, that he couldn't fathom a person who considered themselves frum, yet would cheat on their taxes. I remember Rav Amital gave a drasha about a year before he passed away, when there was a group of rabbis in Teaneck, or Jews in Teaneck, not Teaneck, sorry, New Jersey, I think it was Deal, New Jersey, but a group of rabbis who got arrested for money laundering, I don't know, selling organs, bribery, a whole bunch of things, and there were pictures in the paper of rabbis in full garb, and full Hasidic garb maybe, and being dragged away in handcuffs, and Rav Amital said, that's a Chilul Hashem. He didn't always invoke the Holocaust, but he says the Holocaust is a Chilul Hashem. This is bad things happening to Klal Yisrael. These are Jews being dragged away in handcuffs. And here you're causing Jews to be dragged away in handcuffs due to your dishonesty. And that really, really bothered him. The brothers made a point when telling Yosef or his Avadim, hey, we brought back the money that we mistakenly had. There was money in our bags. We thought we paid it and ended up in our bags. We brought it back. We're trying to be honest. And whether or not he believed them, meaning that's a point that we're making, that if we end up with money that's not ours, we're going to make an effort to return it. That's an easy example of honesty, and an easy example of a Kiddush Hashem we can constantly make. Cashiers constantly make errors. They're humans. And you can turn to the cashier and say, hey, you gave me too much change. That's an opportunity for exemplifying honesty. When the Rambam discusses, and the Gemara discusses, what we expect of Talmidei Chachamim, for example, a normal person is allowed to buy on credit, but a Talmid Chacham isn't. So Mesilat Yesharim, and Ali Shor, and many others, say this is what applies to Bnei Yeshiva now. You're the ones who they look to and say, these are frum people. And our goal, says the Gemara and says the Rambam, is they're supposed to look to you and say, wow, look how honest and yashar this person is. Shegirbu kamotam. We want more people who learn Torah. We want more people who keep the Torah mitzvot. How great that is. That's the Kiddush Hashem we're all aiming for. We're approaching Asara B'Tevi next week, and I'll end with this, but I know that there was a year or two or three that I attended a certain shul on Tisha B'Av. And the first year I was so moved by what the rabbi said. It was a shul in Kew Gardens Hills. Rabbi Rosenberg gave this beautiful drasha. And he went through certain agarata, and then he related to current events. And the events of that year were, I don't know, Rabbi Jack Abramoff and Madoff and Rubashkin. And then he said, if you were Hashem and this were your nation, would you redeem them? And I was very moved by that drasha. And I went to that shul again next year. And it seemed to me as though he was giving an identical drasha, just with updated events that had occurred in the previous year. Of people who were being dishonest, people who were arrested, people who were in the news for not the right reason. Bribery and extortion and whatever else they shouldn't be in the news for. And he again asked that. So as we approach Asara B'Tevi, when part of all the Taniyot is tshuva, and the tzibur are looking to each other and seeing how we can improve, maybe we can all work on an honesty to the point that people meet us and will be those heroes in the story that cause the cop to say, a person like that, he clearly had a reason, he's going to come back and pay. We can be those people when we go to college, when we go to university, when we go to the workplace, and anyone we meet, they should meet us and say, wow, a frum Jew, he must be honest, he must be upright, because look how many frum Jews I've met so far who are honest and upright.